Hello, everyone. Actually, I am presenting today on behalf of our lead author, Tia Palermo. So a little disclosure before I start. If I can't answer your questions, I do provide her contact information at the end, so please feel free to shoot her an email. So I'll take you outside of the U.S. to Chile, and this topic looks at women's opinions on legalization of abortion in Chile and looking at data from 2009 and 2013. To give you some background about Latin America, actually, Latin America is considered one of the highest regions with unintended pregnancies around the world. Data from 2010 say that 58% of all pregnancies in South America are unintended. More recent data actually shows an increase in this number. 62% since 2012 of pregnancies in South America are unintended. And actually, Chile has one of the most restrictive policies for abortion. It is completely illegal right now, one of three countries in Latin America that completely bans abortion. Chile actually, because of these policies, has among the highest rates of induced abortions. Actually, in the 90s, the rate was found to be 45.4 per 1,000 women of reproductive age who were having induced abortions. And in recent estimates of 2013, we find that 209,200 women have induced abortions annually. And the authors actually estimate, joining these two estimates, find that this equals to about 24 abortions per 1,000 women of reproductive age. And if we take that into perspective, looking at global estimates, globally 29 women per every 1,000 women of reproductive age actually have induced abortion. And next is Chile. Then when we look at Western Europe, only 12 per 1,000 women are having induced abortions. And North America, 21 per 1,000. So Chile has very high rates of induced abortion. And because of this, in Chile, actually, unsafe abortion is the third leading cause in maternal mortality. The fact that abortion is banned in Chile results from a legacy of Augusto Pinochet, which was a dictator for 17 years in Chile. And actually, prior to leaving office, shortly before, he banned abortion completely. Before that, therapeutic abortion was possible. So in cases of rape, in case of a danger to a woman's life, or fetal deformity. And without letting anyone know, he banned abortion. And since then, and for the last 20 years, there has been some attempts to legalize abortion for specific cases, but they have all failed. Recently, Michelle Bachelet, actually, she is the first female president in Chile, and she has been reelected in her second non-consecutive term. And in her agenda, she does aim to legalize therapeutic abortion. But there has not been much done up to now. And what the authors think is that policies in Chile currently might be misaligned with what individuals believe and what women perceive in terms of women's rights and abortion rights. And the fact is that studies done in Mexico find that overall Latin American individuals are not in complete support or completely against abortion. They're somewhere in the middle, and opinions vary when we look at different characteristics and by circumstances. So whether it's rape or financial reasons, there are differences in opinion, but no one is either black or white. The study actually aims to look at support for legalization of abortion in Chile and how this opinion changes over time. And they also investigate a number of characteristics to figure out which ones are associated with support of legalization of abortion. They use data collected by Corporación Humanas in Chile. It's a survey that focuses on opinions about gender and politics, and the survey is nationally representative. They sampled in urban and rural areas that represent about 98% of the Chilean population. It is a cross-sectional study. They collect data in 2009. I interviewed about 1,300 women, and in 2013, interviewed about 1,200 women, and all women were 18 years older. So the main outcome for this study is support of legalization. For of abortion. And they ask, how much do you agree that abortion should be legal in the following situations? Rape, risk to a woman's life, fetal malformation, and what they define as economic reasons. So a woman who already has several children and cannot afford to have more children, or whenever a woman chooses to have an abortion. And responses can range from strongly agree, agree, disagree, or strongly disagree. They look at this outcome in two ways. They first created an additive index to indicate support for all these situations and get a summary scale that ranges from 0 to 5, and 5 meaning very supportive. And then they look at each of these items individually and see how supportive individuals are to rape in the items that are listed here. They also control for a range of socio-demographic factors such as age, religion, marital status, frequency of religious attendance, occupation, education, household income. And analysis for the study was conducted using Theta 12. Okay. For first, they actually calculate weighted statistics. And then for the multivariate analysis, they pull data from 2009 and 2013 and run unweighted models. They estimate first a linear regression model for this cumulative index. And then they run regression analysis to estimate, to predict how supportive women are across all 5 different situations. What the authors find is that across demographic factors, the women that interview in 2009 and 2013 are relatively the same. The average age in 2009 was 44, and in 2013 was 51. A greater proportion was married in 2013, 57%. But what's interesting is that In 2009, 70% reported being Catholic, while this proportion decreased in 2013. And also, the proportion of women indicating that they have no religion in 2013 increased from 10% in 2009 to 16% in 2013. Relatively about the same proportion, 59%, claim that they almost never attend church. And this is the last column. When we look at opinions regarding abortion and compare across time periods, we find that women are in support of abortion in cases of rape, are more in support across all items in 2013. Actually, in rape, we find that it's 74% supportive and then 80% supportive for rape. And when we look at risk of life, we find that it is 70% in support in 2009 and 84% supported in 2013. When we look at fetal malformation, we find that in 2009, 69% support abortion in this case, but 80% supported in 2013. And then when we look at financial reasons, we find that 20% supported in 2009 and 24% supported in 2013. And then the last column, we find that when we look at 2009, only 16% supported in 2009, but 29% support abortion when a woman decides in 2013. Okay, so when the authors look at the multivariate models, what they find is that depending on when the woman interviewed, is actually associated with, it's positively associated with support of abortion in specific cases. For example, women who interviewed in 2013 were more supportive of abortion and abortion rights than compared to women who interviewed in 2009. And then when they look at religion, they also find that women who were reporting other religion are actually less supportive of abortion compared to women who were Catholic. And then women who attended church almost never or less frequently were actually more supportive of abortion rights when compared to women who attended church more frequently. And when we look at education and income, we find positive associations. We see that women with higher education are actually more supportive of legalization of abortion. And then when we look at income, we find actually, and this is interesting, middle-income women are actually more supportive of legalization of abortion relative to lower-income women and higher-income women. Okay, and this model actually breaks down support for abortion by case. So we're running here logistic regressions, and we find that that women who interview in 2013 are actually more supportive of abortion pretty much around all cases. And, as you can see here, the odds are all increasing across the board relative to 2009. We also find that attending church less frequently is actually associated with an increased support across all cases. A woman with middle income are actually women with middle income relative to lower income. So the lower middle income right here are actually more in support than women with lower income and women with higher income. Across all cases, more in support of abortion. Overall, the findings are significant. We are finding that majority of women are in support of abortion in cases of rape, in cases of risk to a woman's life, or fetal deformity. And there's more support over time and in 2013 than there was in 2009. It's important. The findings are also important because they highlight that more education and actually attending church less frequently is motivating individuals to be more supportive for abortion rights in Chile. The findings do corroborate their hypothesis. They are misaligned with public policies, and there's increasing advocacy to change this, especially with nearby countries in Chile actually decriminalizing abortion and women realizing this and learning more about this and wanting Chile to follow suit. And currently, the most vulnerable women in Chile are the ones that are affected. And it's interesting that they're less supportive of abortion in several cases. And this might be because they're off the market. So in the black market, they can still get a pill to induce abortion. So it's becoming safer. So there's less mortality, and they feel like it's not affecting them too much. But in the end, they're the ones that cannot travel to get an abortion in Uruguay, who actually legalized abortion recently. And one thing the authors mention is that the current laws put health providers, especially physicians, in an ethical dilemma, because once a woman comes into the hospital with a possible induced abortion, should they report it? Should they treat the woman? What do they do? Do they protect the woman and give her the appropriate medical care? And what's happened is that some do report it, and it's becoming there's more attention in the media to change this. And one important thing to consider is that Chile is actually a signatory in several committees whose goals are to actually protect women's rights and protect their basic human rights, provide quality care, protect privacy. And by signing into these committees, they are supposed to ensure women's rights and equality and non-discriminatory medical care. In fact, the last committee, Punishment and Eradication of Violence Against Women, they want the countries who sign to be obliged to actually ensure and conform to protecting women's human rights. And we know that criminalization of abortion is a public health but also an ethical issue, and it involves right to privacy and equal treatment. So by signing this, we think, and the authors strongly believe, that Chile should start changing their policies in terms of abortion and ensuring that women get the appropriate care and it's private and non-discriminatory. Thank you. You're asking why other reasons were not added to these top five? I do not know the answer to that. So yes, the other religion includes Protestants and evangelicals, and they do have more restrictive and conservative perspectives. So the authors actually state in the paper that it could be because of an increase in the proportion of individuals associating with other types of religion and a decreased reporting being Catholic. So according to the paper, the Catholic Church actually has a lot of influence in the government and with multiple political parties. So they have a strong role in, you know, as to why it's still illegal even after 20 years of the dictatorship ending. And to go back to the previous question, so this survey is a national survey that's conducted every few years, and it seems that the way the question was asked and listing these items has been standard across the years since 2006. So they were not able to, you know, add new items that are more reflective of how we ask the question today. And actually, they only chose 2009 and 2013 data because those are the only two surveys that asked the question identically and that were most comparable. If you have any other questions, Dr. Berlermo's email, she's very good with email, you can definitely contact her.